The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 25th day of April 2023. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. We're still here after all these years fighting the good fight. And tonight, for a while, our producer for a while, his name is Style. Hey, Style.
Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening. And here, way out yonder, that legendary Missouri parson, none other than Pastor Joe Larson.
Well, good evening, boss. Pleasure to be here and ready to go to work.
And we have our special guest tonight, a very special. She is, well, she's pretty, and she's smart, and she's proclaiming justice to the nations, Lori Cardoza Moore.
Pastor Ernie, it's good to be back on the show with you.
It's good to have you back, young lady. We got a lot to talk about, and we're going to be talking about all that you got coming up this weekend here pretty soon, but we always jump right into God's Word. That's where we always start and finish.
Amen.
And tonight, Joe, do you remember the title of the message?
Satan Seats Today.
Satan's Seat Today, right. And that Satan's Seat Today, that's out of Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and has not denied my faith, even in those days where at Antipas my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelt. Now, obviously, he was talking about, that was the altar of Zeus.
Zeus, yeah.
In Pergamos. And, Lori, you probably remember this. We brought this up when it was taking place back when Barack Obama, when he was taking his coordination after his primary victory over Hillary, where he had, yeah, his coordination, where he had brought in the altar of Zeus from Germany. In Germany, they had this altar of Zeus, which was in Pergamos called the seat of Satan. Mm-hmm. And it was the world's largest sacrificial altar. And he brought it to, I believe it was Denver, Colorado. And that's where Obama, do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. It was at the seat where the fly was.
Yeah,
that's, exactly.
Yeah, that's where the fly kept landing on his lips, Beelzebub. And but not only did the fly land on his lips, right at the end you saw the rat. A rat walked right across in front of him.
Yeah.
Boy, did the Lord have a sense of humor.
People completely miss the things, the demonic that manifests itself, where we can actually see it with our own eyes. You know, when you were talking about that, it reminded me, you know, I've been following the news with the girls' sports, women's sports, and how these guys are dressing up like girls, and they're saying they're women now, and they should be able to compete with women, and they're showing up in the showers in schools or rec centers with 14-year-old girls. And I was reminded in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the Lord said to Satan, because he tricked Eve, that he was going to put enmity between the woman and Satan. And that there would be, that the seed of woman would pound his head. And I thought to myself, it's interesting because they are trying, this whole movement, this transgender movement, it's boys dressing, trying to dress up like girls, and it's attacking women. And I was earlier today, that was brought to my attention. The Lord brought that to my mind. Genesis 3:15 about the woman and the Satan, and that her seed, we know that seed ultimately is going to be Yeshua. Jesus is going to pound his head, and I'm looking forward to seeing that day.
Oh, it'll happen, all right. You can count on that. But the enemy knows his time is short, and that's why he has raised his ugly head. I mean, right now, today, the Democratic Party virtually, the Church of Satan has virtually become the national religion of the Democratic Party today.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And here's some. But we'll get into that more of that a little later. Right now, let's go to verse 14. Go ahead and read it, Joe.
But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication.
So here what you had, remember Balaam. Balaam was a prophet. He was a notorious prophet. Because he had a very accurate record. In fact, some of the prophecies he had made actually came past long after he was dead, centuries later. But he had a reputation for his prophecies coming to pass. Now, so Balak was the king of the Midianites. He was paying Balaam to try to pay Balaam to go ahead and prophesize against Israel, because God had given that land to Israel, and Balak didn't want to leave. He said, no, this is our land. We want them out, so we want you to go ahead and prophesize against them, put a curse on them.
Mm-hmm.
And legend has it that Balaam's wife told him to take the money and do it. But now, here, every time Balaam would try to prophesy and curse Israel, when he would open his mouth, instead of a curse, a blessing would come out. And so Balak was getting real short with this. Balak's, look, man, you've got to curse these people. I'm willing to pay you the big bucks. And, of course, Balaam wanted the big bucks, but... So Balaam comes up with this idea. Look, God won't let me curse Israel, but I'll tell you what. If you'll do this, your women are noted, okay, for their whoredom. For their whoredom. And so it kind of reminds you of women, many women here in America today, huh?
You got that right.
Yep. And so here, he says, here's what you do. You go ahead and have them seduce the men of Israel, get them to worship their pagan gods and sacrifice meats to these false gods, and God himself will destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
And so Balak says, sounds like an idea. So that's what he went to do. Well, God had just recently already destroyed 24,000 Israelites for grievous sin against him, and now... These women went and they seduced these Israeli men, and what happened was they were right in front of, out in the open. They were committing all kinds of adultery,
mm-hmm.
and so we saw what happened there. Phinehas took and he ran a spear right through two of them, the men and the woman. And so here we're going to pick it up. Joe, pick it up in Numbers chapter 31, verse 14 through 18.
Okay. And Moses was wroth with the officers of the host, with the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, which came from battle. And Moses said unto them, Have ye saved all the women alive? Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord.
And so here now, did you read all the way through at 18?
Oh, 18. Now, therefore, kill every male among the little ones, and kill every woman that hath known man by lying with him. But all the women children that have not known a man by lying with him, keep alive for yourselves.
Okay, so earlier he had told Moses, if you go back to verse 7, he says, kill all the males. First thing you do is kill all the males. And then I want you to go and take all the women that have lain with men and kill them, and the boys, kill the young males, but keep the young girls alive. So here's the question that we get, that people, those liberal theologians might say, is what gives God the right to kill these people? And it's pretty obvious what gives him the right, but do you guys want to answer that?
He said, I kill, I make a lie, I kill, I give life, I take life. I'm paraphrasing. It's his to take and give. He created it.
Lori?
And he has his code of ethics. He has his laws. And especially if Israel violates those laws, that's why when Israel went into the land, they were to take, Joshua led them in, they were to take and annihilate the people of the land. Why? Why did they go after the Canaanites? Because the Canaanites were evil people. They were worshiping all these foreign gods. And God was going to remove them from the territory because Israel, the tribes, were going to come in and they were going to take the land. That land was God's to give away. Because you're right, Pastor Ernie. How many times do we hear people say, even today in modern times, talk about how Israel is occupying Palestinian land? That land doesn't belong to them. Oh, yes, it does. God established the 70 nations. He determined each one of their borders, and he decided where he was going to put his name and who he was going to give that land to around that city, Jerusalem. And it was the Israelites.
So he made the covenant with Isaac and not Ishmael, huh?
He made the covenant, the promise of the covenant with Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob. No, Ishmael was going to be blessed to be 12 princes. But the blessing was going to come through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and
right,
their line.
You know, there's a deeper reason here, too. You see, you know, with us, we have the here and now. Right now, this is what we have. We cannot reclaim 5 minutes ago, and we may not be here in 5 minutes, you know, and you never get dealt. And so, but God has the past, the present, the future all at one time. And in fact, literally, the past, the present, the future is what God says it is. Now, here, when you say, well, how can he kill a Pastor Ernie? You've worked your whole life out there in the pro-life movement saving babies. You know, you spend so much time out there doing that. How could you justify killing babies? Well, I couldn't justify killing babies. It's a horrible sin. God's Word, the Bible says that. In fact, he tells you over when he talked to Jonah, he asked Jonah, should I destroy those that don't know their right from their left, meaning those that are not at the age, okay, of being able to make a decision. Now, but here, God saw the future for those little children. He saw their future. He knew, and he knew those that were just and were not just, and he knew what it was going to be in that land. And so He spared all of those babies, all of those infants. When they die, where do they go when they die? Every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
They go right to be with the Lord, don't they?
Yeah.
So God spared those, and those that he knew. Now, God is a just God, and he's merciful. He will never punish anyone more than they deserve. And in fact, he's most merciful. He doesn't punish them as much as they deserve. Now, those people that God, when he told his men, and when he told Moses and that to kill him, believe me, he knew who was righteous and who was unrighteous, who would receive him and who would not.
That's
and,
right.
And so God was, he made definitely, absolutely, okay, was on top of that. And he was totally, totally just and totally merciful. And so, you know, when people try to second guess God, I remember hearing this preacher say he could never worship a guy that would let his own son, a God that would let his own son be beat to a pulp, a bloody pulp, and hang up on a cross.
Mm-hmm.
But that fellow evidently didn't understand. He was not saved, was he?
Mm-hmm.
No, he didn't have any discernment, did he?
Mm-hmm.
And so, here. All right, let's jump back to where we left off over there in verse
15.
Go ahead, Joe.
So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate.
Okay. The Nicolaitans there, that word Nicolaitans meant overcomers of the people, or being over the people. These were clergy, if you will, that would exalt themselves. Instead of serving the people, they would have the people serve them. We kind of have that in a hierarchy today, don't we, in some religions?
Bureaucrats. We call them bureaucrats.
Mm-hmm.
Where they create and exalt offices that God's Word, the Bible, never gave us, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And so, in fact, you have some today, you have in some of these churches, especially in a lot of your black churches, you have the pastor they called the most holy reverend, the most holy reverend, and they refer to their wives as the first ladies of the most holy reverend. First of all, are they most holy, Joe?
No.
And
a sinner saved by a pastor is a sinner saved by grace who's been called by the God to serve him. We're not most reverend. That term was used once in Scripture and only for the Lord God.
111 Psalm, verse 9, it says, holy and reverend is God's name.
God's name,
yeah. Right? It's not a good thing. That's why I never go by the name reverend. I never use that name because it's a name for God, right? And so here, when we take a look at this now, these Nicolaitans, they also were there where Jezebel, the woman Jezebel was, and she was a female who exalted herself to the office of what you call the high priestess, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But she was, the word Jezebel was used for, like today, for a woman who is wicked, well, like for Hillary Clinton. She's referred to as Jezebel a lot.
Jezebel.
Yeah. And
she
so here.
Carries that spirit.
Pardon?
Definitely carries that spirit.
Yeah, well, that's what's called the Jezebel spirit of today. These women that are rebellious and hate God. They hate God.
Mm-hmm.
And so here, he goes on to say, so as thou them that hold to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And so, again, the Nicolaitans, if we go over, in fact, let's look at that. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And in 2
All right.
Corinthians chapter 11, and I'll read verse, we want to read verse 4.
Read 4? Okay, not, all right. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if we yet receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him.
Okay. Here, when he's taking a look at another Jesus, you know what really kind of irks me sometimes? Do you ever hear people talking about, they refer to Jesus as the big guy up there, hey, that big guy, or,
yeah,
you know, and all these things, and it's, you know, that's not exactly being reverent, is it, you know?
No.
But you have others. I remember one day I was sitting in my office and a woman came in, and this woman had four children by four different men, and she had never married any of them. And she attended a United Church of, well, I call it the United Church of the Antichrist, a very liberal apostate church. But she went to, and she had a 14-year-old daughter that she wanted to get married to an 18-year-old boy. And her church wouldn't do it. And so she decided to come because she knew that we were unregistered New Testament church. We held strictly to the Bible. And somehow she thought that she could come and ask, convince me to do that. And so, I said, look, first of all, even before I would even consider such a thing, because the young girl had been, what was that, the courts, what do they do it when they give them to be on their own, and I'm
emancipation.
Yeah, to emancipate it. I said, at least I would have to talk to them at least three times, and especially at that age. But she said, well, that's, you don't have to do that. I'm giving my permission. I said, I don't care about your permission, okay? And she said, well, my God is a God that is non-judgmental. My God is a tolerant. He accepts people and let them live the way they want to live.
Mm.
And remember that guy that called himself Jesus?
Jesus, yeah.
The one who was out from South America. Do you remember that about 10 years ago that Lori, he came here, he was making his rounds? Yeah,
I don't recall that.
Yeah, he was making his rounds. He actually had 666 on his forehead.
Oh gosh!
And he had two whores. He was going with these two whores. These two women were very, very scantily clad, and he was going to these liberal churches. He was on the talk shows on TV, like Phil Donahue and back and Oprah, whatever. And he was telling people that he literally was Christ, and that he hung upon that cross and he suffered the way he suffered so that we would not be restricted by laws and morals and values, so that we would have complete freedom to live and do whatever we want without restrictions.
Mm-mm.
And well,
and that's why he gave us the Ten Commandments, right?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately for him, God was listening, and bad things happened to him. But anyhow, so if we go back here, this reminds me of these people when they come preaching another Jesus that we have not preached, or another spirit which you have not. And here when it comes, it says that you might well bear. That word anakamel means push against. That word bear there is not, like when we bear a burden, that means we hold that burden or lift that burden. Here, this word means to push against, to push against. Mm-hmm. It says that you might well push against that when they come. And then if you go over to verse 12, read verse 12 through 15, Joe.
But what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion. And wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose ends shall be according to their works.
We have a break. We're going to come back and address that. Be right back.
Israel, rise from your slumber, and the truth shall set you free. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Oh, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise Yahweh. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Thou art my chosen, for I have called thee. Thou art graven on my hand, and I will gather all those who gather. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, hallelujah, praise Yahweh. From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. Out from the furnace, out of affliction, I have chosen thee, behold, and for your iron I'll give you silver, and for your brass I'll give you gold. Awake, America,
awake, America.
Rise from your slumber, and the truth shall set you free.
Hosanna.
From out of Zion comes your Redeemer in the year of Jubilee. In the year of Jubilee.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, way, hallelujah, hallelujah, way, hallelujah, hallelujah, way, hallelujah, way.
All righty, there you go. The very, very talented Carl Klang. He beat us home to heaven, Joe. Carl made it home, and but boy, what a talented fella he was. Anyhow.
Well, he gets to sing with all the angels. I envy him.
Yep.
In that
Anyhow,
sense.
Let's go back and really quickly, let's go through that. Well, here the Apostle Paul is talking about these apostates who claim to be apostles. Now, they weren't saying they were an apostle. They were saying, they were making a point that they were one of the apostles, or like the apostles. Well, there was only, when we refer to the apostles, there's 12. But now, there's, when you refer to simply apostles and apostle, there's many apostles today, but they're not one of the 12. But here, these apostates, and we have it here. I actually had one some years ago come up and try to tell me that we were brothers. Look, we may disagree. In other words, everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls sin, this guy embraced. But then he tells me, even though we disagree on things, we're still brothers in the Lord. And I told him, no, we're not. We're not brothers. We don't have the same father. Your father is the devil.
Mm-hmm. Must have been the Church of Christ, huh?
No, this was an apostate Lutheran church. This guy was in a...
Oh, one of those, okay.
And he says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if ministers be transferred as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So, Al Sharpton calls himself the Reverend, don't he?
Yeah, the Reverend Al, yeah.
I don't think he's ever met a sin he didn't like. Okay?
Mm-hmm. There's the Reverend Jesse Jackson, who is one of the big con artists, and... he was always extorting money out of corporations, so he was an extortionist.
Shakedown artist. Then you got all the prosperity preachers out there today who are shaking and who are...
Yeah, shakedown artists, big time.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. But that's what the Apostle Paul said. We're going to stop right there, and we're going to talk about something coming up here at the end of the month on Sunday, the 30th of April. There's a big event taking place. Lori, tell us about it.
Yes, Pastor Ernie, we are coming to town. We are going to have a power-packed informational seminar that's going to take place this Sunday, April 30th. Doors are going to open at 7:30 in the morning for registration. There will be a continental breakfast served, and we're going to get a Bible study from Pastor Joe Del Torio. He's going to talk to us about our biblical duty to occupy until he comes. And so we're going to have him speak to encourage us in the word of the Lord before we start our training. We've got guest speakers that are coming in. These are very strategic individuals who are strategists. They're going to train parents and citizens on how to take back local control of their communities and their children, specifically their children's education, by flipping school boards. So we've got Stephanie Meyer is going to come. She's going to help train people and show people how to lay out a strategy for victory to take back control of their school board. Jeremiah Sawyer is going to be with us, and he's with the Ohio School Board Constitution Coalition. He's going to show us how they train future school board members. And, of course, Pastor Joe will be with us, former U.S. Congressman Jim Renacci. Congressman Renacci has an organization, SOS. He is also looking to recruit potential future school board members to run for office. Pastor Ernie, we have 14,000 school districts across this country. And, you know, all we have to do is turn on the news and look at what our children are being subjected to. And parents and citizens, taxpaying citizens who are paying for this garbage are fed up with it.
Lori, let me give you a little bit of what you're talking about here. This is the Desert Hills Middle School. You probably know what I'm going to say here, but shocking video. I'm looking at this. Washington Middle School under investigation for holding whipped cream licking contest for teachers and students. Mm-hmm. And here is a video of the contest. The Desert Hills Middle School shows staff and students licking cream off of either side of a plexiglass window during a prep rally. After facing extreme backlash from parents, the Kennewick School District is investigating the incident. I mean, this is really gross what they're doing out there today. And like you said, just in the past week, what was it, three boys went into the girls, and these were 14, 15-year-old girls, while they were in the shower.
Yeah.
Went in there while they were in the shower. And, you know, what happened there in Portland a couple of years ago, you had this boy go in there, and the girls were in the shower, and he started fondling one of these naked girls, and she fought him off, and she was expelled.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is debauchery. Plain and simple, we have become, we're like Sodom and Gomorrah. God will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if he does not deal with us. We have allowed, and this is what bothers me, Pastor Ernie, we've allowed for decades for evil wickedness to prosper, and we did not confront it. And I always go back to 1962 because that was the year I was born, and it also happened to be the year that they removed prayer from school. Where was the church? Why did they not speak out? Why were there not protests and rallies by parents and citizens and churches and pastors? Where were they? We let that happen. Then 1973, Roe v. Wade. What happened? Everybody stayed silent. Nobody wanted to rock the boat. It's interesting how, you know, we read about Phineas. We just read those scriptures about Phineas taking the javelin and sticking it through, you know, the man and the woman that were involved in wickedness, in things that they ought not. And the church today, well, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to insult anybody. You know what? It's time. It's time for us to say, you know what? We're offended. We're insulted. This is not going to be tolerated.
That's what I preached on last week. Where was the rage and where was the righteous indignation? Lori, not everyone stayed silent. We went to back in 73 when that Supreme Court that was supreme only in their treason against God and country, and that's the fact. There were 100 of us that went to Washington, D.C., but there should have been 20,000 of us. The pastors failed. The pastors failed. They lost courage, and, you know, when they should have had the courage. And let me just read you very quickly. You might probably remember that fellow named Charles Finley. He started a university not far from here in Oberlin, which actually at one time was a Christian college. But here's what he said. He preached this in 1873, and it was the message was called The Decay of Conscience. And he said this: if there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in the halls of legislation, and he does, the pulpit is responsible for it. And if our politics become so corrupt, like they have today, that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, well, the pulpit is responsible for it. Lori, for 50 years, I've been preaching this. 50 years. And
you should be commended, and God have a special place for you in heaven for doing it. Unfortunately, we do not have pastors. We have not prepared pastors that are coming up to be able to stand up in the face of this onslaught. And what's happening is, because we see the vacuum that has been created, parents are now starting to rise up. And like I said, taxpaying citizens, they are looking at what's happening to our culture. They are drawing a line in the sand. And that's where, Pastor Ernie, that's what has to happen. That righteous indignation has got to rise up inside of us. We are not losers. We are victors, because the Lord God already won this battle. So why don't we act like it? Why don't we go in? Like, you know, a decade ago when we went to our school board was voting to either keep a book with anti-Semitic, anti-American, anti-Israel, anti-Judeo-Christian values. We asked the school board remove the book because it's riddled with inaccuracies, and the school board went ahead that night in front of a standing room crowd of parents and citizens who showed up, shocked them all. They voted to keep that book. And I remember when I was standing there making my speech, I said to them, I said, this is an election year, and if you don't remove this book, we're going to remove every one of you from office. I'd had enough with these people. And I put them coming after their seats. And that's what we have to do. We have to take back the authority we have surrendered. And you know what, Pastor Ernie? It took us 4 months to find 6 school board members to run for office. And not only did they run, but come election day, 4 months later, those 6 school board members that were, we took them all down in one election. And we replaced everyone. It can be done, but it's not going to be done if people just sit back at home and they say the problem's too big. It reminds me of the 10 spies. People look at the problem that we're facing in our culture today, and the 10 spies said the same thing. Oh, no, the giants are too big. We can't take them. Joshua and Caleb. Caleb came from the tribe of Judah, Joshua from Ephraim. And they said, oh, yes, we can. But because the majority of them grumbled and rumbled and didn't want to go, can't do it, we're afraid, that whole generation had to wander through the wilderness until that generation died off. It was the next generation that was allowed to go in and take the land with Joshua. We're like that today. So it's time. Our goal is to get people fired up and excited, because Pastor Ernie, it's not just us anymore. It's not just us in Hudson or in Cleveland proper or in any of the surrounding communities. It is more and more people are starting to find their strength, and they're standing up and they're saying enough is enough. They're not going to do this to our children. We have not done a good job of teaching our children. I thank Governor DeSantis. I praise God for a leader like Governor DeSantis who allowed us, who adopted the standards, the civic standards that teach about the Judeo-Christian founding of our country, about the role that Jews and Christians played in our founding, that the Torah, the role that the Torah played in our structure and our form of government, the republic. The concept of a republic comes out of the Torah. In fact, back in the 1300s and through the 1700s, a democracy was considered an evil form of government. It wasn't even worthy to be considered. But a republic was what came out of the Bible. That's why we are a republic. That's why the first party of people were Republicans. Before we had a two-party system, we had Republicans. Why? Because that's what our founders had envisioned for us. And it was a biblical, because of a biblical structure. The Hebrew Bible played a significant role. I mean, we can go through Washington, D.C. and go into the Supreme Court building. We can see the influence of Moses. In the Supreme Court building, we can see the image of Moses in the House of Representatives on the floor. There's a reason why the Puritans, who were Hebraists, they were Christian Hebraists. They wanted to study the Bible from a Hebraic perspective, not King James Version. And that's why they fled. They fled that type of religious persecution. And that's why we see the symbols. Oberlin College, like what you said, used to be a Christian university. What about Harvard? What about Yale? They, too, were Christian universities. They were going to teach Hebrew. In fact, Hebrew was originally going to be the original language for the United States of America, and they decided not. But had they gone along with it, we would be reading and speaking Hebrew right now. But it's this type of history that our children are not being exposed to. And unless we, as parents and taxpaying citizens that do not have kids in the system, it doesn't matter that you don't have kids in the system. What matters is that your tax dollars pay for it, and you will be held accountable. We're all going to be judged. God put us, you know, the beautiful thing about what's happening right now, if there is a beautiful thing, is that God created us to be here. And he equipped each one of us that are alive with certain unique gifts in order to accomplish what God wants to accomplish in this generation. And we were chosen.
You're right. Now, you know, a lot of people don't understand. The Bible gives you three main missions. You know, a lot of things in the Bible with the number three, like the Trinity, for example. But three main missions he gives you. And, of course, the first main mission is the Great Commission, first and foremost. And that's in, you know, Matthew 28, for example, 18 through 20. And to go out, preach the gospel to all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching Scripture, making converts. But the second one is very important, too. And the preachers have not passed. We've had too many effeminate preachers in the pulpit, okay? Where we needed some testosterone in that pulpit out there today. And so what's happening, the Bible clearly teaches that resistance to tyranny, from Genesis to Revelation, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God.
Amen.
And then the third part was that he told you was that we were to continue to adhere and hold all of the traditions. We were to uphold the traditions of the apostles, and we were to stand fast and not give up ground. We were to hold our ground. And again, that's not being taught. I've been preaching on this for decades. That's where it starts. I remember, Lori, I'm older than you. I remember back when the Enlightenment movement, that German Enlightenment movement, came over here in the early 60s. And I'll never forget that. I was confused. I was a young guy. And these preachers were all trying to be these neo-evangelical preachers, sweeter than Jesus. They were talking about how we need to learn to be in touch, men, the pastors, with their feminine parts.
Oh, God.
And I thought, what in the world? I don't have feminine parts. Where's this coming from? And it was at the same time, I remember, I'll never forget there, they were teaching how we have to do that so we can learn to understand women. So we can, I tell you what, I don't think we can understand, as men can understand. Now, we know what a woman is. We're that far advanced, but
you're way ahead.
Yeah.
A lot of people are nowadays.
Pastor Ernie?
Yeah, Joe.
One secret I found out, if you want to know something from a woman, just ask her. If you don't have to understand, just ask, what do you want? How do you want this done? You know, and it's so much easier than trying to figure it out for yourself.
There you go. That's wisdom.
That's my wife. She'll tell me, you know.
Joe, that's a little too deep for our opposition.
Oh, it's too simplified, right?
They can't comprehend that one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I hate to get so deep into, you know.
Now, think about it. We're up against people. We're up against people that don't know what a woman is. We're up against people that think that you can be on a highway that's racist. That on a highway there's race. It's an anti-white or an anti-black highway. Or you can be crossing a bridge that's racist. Or that these crash dummies, are only male and not female because they're sexist. That's an amazing thing. We're coming up to a break here, Lori. In the second half, we're going to have, you've heard about the Brunson case that they brought between the Supreme Court?
Yeah.
We're going to have Roland Brunson is going to be here along with Ken Cromer. And there's an update. There's breaking news tonight. We're going to be one of the first to break in the entire country. But the court has accepted their case. They've actually got a file number now, hang on. First of all, give the folks again the time and the place coming up on the 30th over there in Hudson.
April 30th in Hudson. It's going to be at River of Life Community Church, And we're going to, doors open at 7:30. Again, Continental Breakfast. We'll have a full day of speakers. So come with a notepad ready to take notes and get armed with the facts and get trained, get you ready to run. It's time for us to take back local control of our children's education in our communities. And it starts with us. So we'll
absolutely
see you all then.
Hey, Lori, don't. You're welcome to stay with us here because you may have some questions for these fellows that will be coming up.
Yeah, I'm not going to miss this.
Right after the...
I've been following the game.
Yeah. In fact, are they with us yet, Sean? Or that's Sean. Why do I keep calling Sean? Just out of style.
Sean, because it's not Sean, probably.
Right, it's Style.
It's Style.
Okay, that's his name, Style, all the while. That's his name right now. All right, so anyhow, again, we want to remind folks coming up, that's this coming Sunday, April 30th, from 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., the River of Life Community Church. The address is 5649 Stowe Road in Hudson, and the phone number, if you want to call, is for more information or directions, is 330-342-9796. That's 330-342-9796. It's $25 per person. Yes, ma'am.
Yep. They can go. They can register at the website at pjtn.org. And yes, the tickets are $25. You can, if you order it soon, you can order your lunch. Otherwise, bring a brown bag. But we'll be there till 5:30.
And the whole point is, look, we got to get geared up for war.
Right.
You know, God has expectations of us. We have obligations to Him. And we are required to take our country back for God. We're required to do that, okay?
Amen.
And so, folks, you know, what we're telling you is the real thing. A lot of people out there think, well, you know, I'll just wait. He's got to come back soon. Well, let me tell you what you're doing there. You're robbing yourself. If you are, in fact, saved, you'd be surprised that you would say such a thing, but... folks, this is the time God has raised us up for. It's a very short period of time to place up crowns that we'll live with. What we're talking about is kind of your status or your rank and throughout eternity. Right, Joe?
Right. And that's a long, long time from my understanding, right?
Absolutely. So we want to run to this battle. Lori, I'll keep giving this all week long for you. So...
Pastor Ernie,
things
are so corrupt, we don't have to run to anything. I can reach out anywhere and find an enemy. They're not hard to find. They're everywhere.
Yeah, I know. Okay. But again...
Just walk over and grab one.
The Lord says one can chase 1,000 and two 10,000. He's talking about us, isn't he? And
yeah.
So, there you go.
We're willing to believe Him and do what He tells us.
We're coming up to a break when we come back. Hopefully those fellows will be here. They will see if they'll hear when we come back. Okay. So with that, hang in there. And there's a whole lot more to come, folks. So stay tuned as we count down. What are we down to, 10? 9? 8? Here we go. 6. Watch this. 5, 4, 3.
You can count.
2, 1. Yeah, we went to school.
Fight the fight, light the light, let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.